This broadcast of Ohio is on Fire features entertainment and honesty of an intense nature. The opinions and views that are expressed on this episode do not reflect the views of WVSU 106.9 FM or any of its affiliates. Fire.
Do you have any matches? Try setting it on fire.
Fire, 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 fire.
Saving the innocent from corporate radio. This is the show where Ohio froze down. Ohio is on fire. And I am the host, Daniel Diesel. We are live with another episode of Ohio's on Fire, the show. This is episode 182. And tonight I am not alone as I have a co-host joining me for this episode. He is a special one night only co-host. He is the one only, Darren Glines.
Hey, how are
Say hello.
Hey, audience.
And yes, for those of you that listen to the station a lot, years ago he was a radio host here at WVSU 106.9 FM, so he's an alumni. It's always great to have alumni come back, even if it's for one night only. So, Darren, one of the reasons that you're on here tonight is throughout this semester, we've been playing fantasy football. Me, several current members of this WVSU community, along with past alumni, we played fantasy football to determine who was the best fantasy football player among people that are members of WVSU, and I'm had a frog in my throat. I'm happy to say that you and me were in the finals. It was myself and so what are your thoughts? So what did you think of the football fantasy football league we were in?
I thought it was interesting. It was the first time that I've had the season end before like week 16.
Yes. So, the reason why I did that is because there was nine of us, and I wanted so we all played each other once in the fantasy football, because I was actually the GM of this group, so I was able to set the schedule. And when it first came out, the computer randomized it, and it was really funky. Like, it had, like, me playing one guy three times and a few others not at all, and I noticed it was weird. So it took me, like, 3 hours to straighten up the schedule, but I did it. We all played each other one time, and one team had like a bye week. Like every week there's someone was on a bye week.
Well, so, because we had an odd number of players.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And I set it up that way. So it took me a while to figure it out. So it was fair. We all played 8 regular season games. And we all made a postseason as well. I'll tell you the other people that was in. It was you. It was me. We had Ted Beast. We had Maxwell Patton. We had Doug Levis, who's a sports announcer here Monday afternoons. We had another alumni, Lee W. Mowen, he was in the league. We had John Lieber. We had Chris Tony. And then I've counted 8. There was a 9. Oh, yeah. It was Cone. Stephen Cone. He's the marketing director here at the station. So I count all 9, and it was a lot of fun. But I want you to tell us, because I don't know the score. I know because I've been working all day. And I know the last time I checked, you and me was really tight. It was like I was up by 1 point come Sunday afternoon. So tell us what's happened since Sunday afternoon.
So since Sunday afternoon, my players very much puttered out and decided this would be a good week to lay some eggs, like some chickens.
Oh, man.
So Thursday night, I had Drew Brees going.
Yes.
And gave me a whopping 9.3 points and...
Yeah, he was awful.
Somehow Dallas's defense was like, we're going to play amazing. And I don't get why Dallas all of a sudden was like, we're going to be amazing. So,
yeah.
But anyway, the current score, as it sits, is with all 9 of my players going, I've scored 62.6 points.
Yeah.
And you're currently sitting at 101.9.
Yeah.
And that's with 7 out of your 9 players going.
So I got 2 more to go, but I've already clinched it. So.
Yes.
That means that I, Daniel Diesel, For the inaugural WSU Fantasy Football League, I have won the whole league. So I've done it. I'm the champion. I can't believe it. Woo, do, 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 do. There's got to be confetti and balloons for me. I can't believe it. But I want to thank all the little people that I stomped on all season to win this. And who else do I think?
I want to bear this in mind that you and I were respectively the 5th and 6th seeds in this league.
Yes.
So, like, we were like very much like middle / lower pack of this season of like,
yeah, I had a 4-4 record. What was your record?
5-3.
Okay, you did better. Well, like I said, I didn't think I was gonna win because Chris Tony and Ted Beast, they had amazing regular seasons. Like Chris Tony was like 7-1. I thought one of those two was gonna win. I didn't expect to win, and I mean, I was kind of hoping not to win because it was my league. I don't want people to think I cheated. There was no cheating. The scores was everything was set up before the season began. I won fair and square. And, of course, and also to elaborate the quarterback thing you were talking about, I actually owned Drew Brees for most of the season, and you had Philip Rivers. I decided I just wanted to make a trade. Because I like to liven things up, and you and me made a trade, so we swamped quarterbacks pretty much. You wound up with Drew Brees. I wound up with Philip Rivers. And they tell you, Philip Rivers, he's been playing his butt off. He's having the career of his life. And it benefited me, of course.
It benefited me slightly. For a while, having Breeze, because I was like, oh, I'm going to get Breeze. I'm like, I'll give up, what's his face? I'll give up Rivers. Like, I already had, like, Roethlisberger as a backup. So I'm like, even if Breeze doesn't do much for me, I got at least another quarterback that should hold out.
All right.
And I was like, okay, I'll give up the Ravens, because you went to the Ravens defense, too. So I'm like, and I was like, I was a little iffy on them, and then I was like, okay, you can have them. And I remember, like, the week before you gave up the Chicago defense, like, you just dropped them, and I was like, okay, I'll pick up the...
Yeah.
I was like, I ended up picking up the Bears defense, so
yeah.
Effectively, we just swapped defenses and...
Yeah, swapped defenses and...
quarterbacks.
Yeah, kind of midseason try to see if something could happen, because we both had mediocre regular seasons, but, but it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun playing with you, and, of course, with all the other guys... It was a lot of fun. I do not know if I'll do another one because, I mean, like I said, it was a spur of a moment I did this one. I'll have to get feedback. Maybe I'll let Ted Beast run a league next year. Maybe Lee W. Mallon can do one. I do not know if I'll do another league. But here's some ramifications. I don't want a physical prize. I just like the idea that I can call myself the king of WWSU because that was one of the prizes. So I, Daniel Diesel, as of tonight and moving forward forever in time, I am the king of WWSU 106.9 FM, and I have some demands from the people of the station. I want a golden microphone. I want a golden machete so I can cut my own meat with a golden knife, and I can eat live on the air. I want a pallet so I can drink water while I'm on the air. I want to throw – you know what? When I come into the station, I want my own theme music. I just want music to blare while I walk in. I want my own manservant. They can lift me and carry me everywhere I go. Because I am the king of the station. I am the king of the world. But I tell you, Darren Glines, you had a really good season. You had a really good postseason. So here's the deal. He is going to get a prize. I will give him a little something. But it depends on you at home what he does wind up getting. Because he will get a prize. Tonight, I'm giving away tickets to Monster Jam. In fact, anywhere from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m., I want you at home to call me at 937-775-5555. That's the station's number. The very first person to call me starting at 6:30 and claims the tickets, you got to say, I want my Monster Jam tickets, and you will win them. You got to be the first to do it. You'll get, for this Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Nutter Center, 4 tickets to Monster Jam. And of course, and it'll be a will call. You got to go to Nutter Center, will call, give them your name. I will tell the person your name because I made an arrangement with Anita from Monster Jam. She's the public rep for the group. We've made a deal. You will get those tickets at will call. But if you don't call tonight, if no one calls in by 8 o'clock tonight, Darren Glines will get those tickets. So that'll be his gift. And if he doesn't get the tickets, he will get another gift. Probably as prestigious as those, but you'll get something. So there's something in it for Darren Glines. So this is your chance to take away 4 tickets. So Darren, what do you think of this?
Well, I think it's fine regardless because it's either I get to go to Monster Jam or I get some mysterious.
You'll get a Christmas gift from me. So you'll get something.
I commit these little crimes. I commit these little crimes. I commit these little crimes. Think I loved you one time. I think I loved you one time. Think I loved you one time. Think I loved you one time. I think I loved you one time. Think I loved you one time.
Take me down to the... You just heard Little Crimes by Sure Machine coming out of Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm going to play another track of hers called Low. And we have an update on the tickets. We do have a winner for Monster Jam tickets. He is a college student here at Rice University. He is the one only Maxwell Patton. And I do want to thank WDSU 106.9 FM for promoting this contest on Facebook throughout the day. And, of course, I promoted it throughout on my page, saying, hey, be the first one to call. Didn't matter who you were. Of course, Maxwell, being he's a student, he knows he uses heads up. He used some heads up thinking to make the phone call, play by my rules, and win the tickets. So Maxwell Patton is going to get 4 tickets for this Saturday night.
I'm Tyler Menninga, driver of the Gravedigger Monster Jam truck. My biggest accomplishment as a Monster Jam driver is making it to the final round in racing at the World Finals. It's where the best drivers get to go race, and making it to that final round is one of the highlights of my career. I've actually only been to Ohio one time. I did the Cleveland show last year in 2017, and it was really fun. You know, Cleveland's actually a pretty awesome city. I got to go out and explore a couple things throughout the city. They had a pretty cool bike park there, so I like to do that in every city we go to, just go and check out everything that the city has to offer. One thing is, you know, a lot of college kids may think that Monster Jam's kind of something that's for, you know, smaller children, you know, for families and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm 21 years old and I still think monster trucks are the coolest thing ever. You know, I'm trying to get it to where, you know, kids our age are more into it than they are, because, you know, I feel like it's somewhat of a, you know, little kid sport, and that's how people view it. But I'm kind of trying to change that myself. I want to be, you know, recognized by kids my own age, and, you know, for them to think it's cool, it would be awesome. This weekend in Dayton, we got 3 shows. It's 1 Friday and 2 Saturday, and it's actually a points-based show. So every time we pull out on the floor, it's, you know, we're trying to win points to gain an overall event championship. My deal is, though, I don't care about the points. I don't care about the scores or the trophies. I'm there to make sure everybody has a good time and put everybody on their feet. Hope to see everybody out at the shows this weekend in Dayton. It's going to be a great time. Like I said, we got 3 shows, 1 on Friday, 2 Saturday, pit party before the first show on Saturday. So just come on out and have fun and hang out with us and enjoy Monster Jam.
Yes, and Maxwell and Darren will enjoy themselves for Monster Jam. But so Tyler Manningen, I want to thank you for the pre-recorded material. I doubt he was listening, because what is I couldn't get the drivers are busy right now. I do prefer getting live interviews on the show, but they are very busy when you're with Monster Jam. You do a lot of traveling, so that's why we had to do the pre-recorded bits with Tyler. So once again, I really want to thank Monster Jam for hooking me up, because it's actually rare that they do this for college radio. I was a fortunate, and of course, this is actually the second time that I've worked with Monster Jam, because back in 4 years ago, I previously interviewed Dalton Mulligan. Of course, he passed away 6 months later after the interview, so it was very unfortunate. I never knew the cause of what caused his death. But he was very young. So hopefully we can work. I can work with Monster Jam again in the future. They come once a year.
It is the show where Ohio throws down. Ohio is on fire. For 170 episodes, this show has presented the best interviews, the best stories, and the best music from the state of Ohio, focusing on the good things in the heartland while changing the world around it. New episodes are coming this fall, beginning Monday, September 10, and every Monday at 6 p.m. Listen live on WWSU 106.9 FM. Subscribe and download the podcast at www.anchor.fm/OhioIsOnFireShow for download at Google Play and iTunes. Watch the live action episodes on YouTube at channel Ohio Is On Fire Show. Also, like and follow the show's page at facebook.com/OhioIsOnFireShow.
Nothing will stand in your way as you listen to WWSU 106.9 FM, Fairborn, Dayton's right choice.
We are back live with Ohio Is On Fire. I am with my second guest of the evening. They are an uprising band here from Ohio. They are Coleman Clark, Adam Clark, Chase Heck, and Bill Heck. They make up a quartet known as the Blue Leaves. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
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 Well, welcome everyone to the show. So I got some questions for you guys. How did you guys meet? What's the story on that?
Well, I met my brother at the ripe old age of zero.
Oh, okay.
I emerged into the world.
Coleman and Adam are brothers, and I graduated with Coleman. We graduated from high school in 2016.
Yeah.
Adam's a year younger than us. And then Bill over there is my dad.
Oh, okay. All right, absolutely. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I did notice there was like two sets of family members. But I was just wondering how the Clarks and the Hecks met each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, all right, well, of course. But anyway, I want to. You guys call yourselves the Blue Leaves. So where does that name come from?
Well, I came before we were this band. There was another band with other members in it, and some have gone, some have left. But we were trying to basically figure out a name for ourselves, because we were originally a Beatles tribute band.
Yeah,
like Beatles/Beach Boys.
Yeah.
So we wanted to start doing original music. So we decided we needed a name change, and because my mom at one point had gotten this blue plant or something
blue poinsettia.
There you go. And it had died, so my dad threw it away in the dumpster, and just when he threw it away, I guess a couple of the leaves fell on the end of the driveway or something, and then just one of our friends who was with us at the time when we were leaving my parents' house just pointed to the ground and was like, "That's our name now." And it just kind of, like, at one of the leaves on the ground, it just kind of stuck with us. I don't know.
I actually didn't know until now that it was from a blue poinsettia.
Yes.
I just thought it was fate.
I know they had blue poinsettias in Ohio. That's wild. That is cool to know. I guess I'll ask this question. Now, a good question for artists who are beginning their careers is, how much does it cost to buy music equipment, like any equipment at all? And how would you go about budgeting to buy these equipment?
Well, the equipment... I mean, if you want to sound good, you got to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, bottom line, into the thousands of dollars, quite honestly. And it's taken a little bit of time for us to build our PA, our system up and everything, but it does. It takes a lot of money to do this.
Closer to the mic.
Okay.
All right. Yep. You're okay. You're good. That's fine. All right. So that's good advice. You do have to, I guess, if, like anything in life, if you want to buy something, you do have to save up. And luckily, and then what you do, you buy the nice equipment. But of course, I have a side question. Like a guitar, if you wanted to buy a new guitar, or perhaps even a used one, how much ballpark does it cost?
Well, I just recently got one made that was like $1,000, but that's on the upper end. But if you're going for used and stuff, you could usually find one ballpark of like $300 to $500 that'll.
Okay, that's more that's reasonable.
Yeah, but then one thing a lot of people forget is when you play guitar, you also have to like find a good amp that'll work with it.
Yeah.
Chords for that with like a pedal that'll make the sounds that you want, because if you just play it straight, unless your amp has like built-in stuff, it's going to be like, you're going to be disappointed with how it sounds, because you're like, I want it to be big and fuzzy, and it's like,
yeah.
By a certain amp, it'll just sound, you know.
Right. And spending all this money on this stuff, I mean, it ends up really being worth it, because the better equipment you have, the higher caliber gigs you're able to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more money that comes in for replacement costs and everything. So, you know, it really is worth the experience.
Yeah.
And to be able to give crowds a really quality sound when you perform.
Absolutely. You don't want to suck. So you want to buy the right stuff. Yeah. I agree. Now, do you guys have any experience practicing in a garage, and what was that like?
Actually, we've never played in a garage or whatnot. We generally play in my parents' basement.
Okay, so what's that like, playing in a basement?
It's really nice. We essentially have our own little recording studio down there.
Oh,
that's where we recorded our original album so far.
Cool, cool. All right. Well, I was curious about that. The reason why I did ask that is that a lot of bands start out, they're called garage bands, and a lot of them do like play in a garage, right, and sure, they crank it up loud, and of course the neighbors. So I just wonder if you guys ever had an experience like that. But it sounds like you guys are all nice and cozy. So you guys are the proper brood leaves. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's good to know. Because I was wondering about the neighbors, so I'll skip that part, I guess. But besides music, what do the four of you guys do to help each other bond as a band?
Well, we most recently took a band trip to go see the new Queen movie. Just came out.
All right.
That was a lot of fun.
We saw saw REO Speedwagon Chicago at Riverbend during the summer.
Okay.
But I don't know. Just other things we do together, just kind of, I really don't know. Coleman and I actually live in an apartment with a couple other people.
Yeah.
We go to Wright State, and Adam lives with other people next door to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And over the summer, we had some gigs in Indiana and Michigan, and for example, and while we're going for those gigs, we actually have some time to kind of vacation together, you know, just hang out, explore the places we go to, and that ends up being a good bonding experience as well.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that sounds very amazing. Now, I noticed that when you guys started out, and even most of the time with your concerts, you guys do covers. And I'll ask it like this. I think you guys are attempting to make your own originals. But how did it come about? How did you transition from making just covers into writing original music? How did that come about?
I think it was really because we do the covers because when you play out live, like that's a majority of what people want to hear, especially if you're playing festivals and stuff,
yeah,
just because they're like, give me things I know. But then we just kind of reached a point where we were like, we were writing just some of our own lyrics and, you know, just thinking, you know, I think we can do this. And so we made one album that was sort of us exploring just kind of what it is to write music in general.
Yeah.
And then we did another one. And I think this one we were like really trying to kind of, instead of just make songs, period, we were just trying to really make better songs. And so I think, where was I going with this? Main bullet point is it takes a bit of time to like really become a songwriter and do originals.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely thankful that we started doing it.
Yeah. I think the root for me was simply being inspired by seeing a few live performers. Like Elton John, I saw him a couple years ago, and it was you know, it was just crazy to me to be there, and he had a whole arena just going crazy for him. And, you know, that's a legacy he built himself. So I think I was kind of inspired to try to create a legacy of my own, you know, just music from completely my own creation and, you know, the rest of ours.
All right. That's really good stuff there. Now, I know music, finding music online is very popular now. Where do either of you go to find your music online?
Do you mean like?
Spotify is one big website, something like that.
I think we all have Spotify.
Yeah, almost exclusively use that, and a little bit of iTunes.
YouTube a lot, just to watch old concerts of like the Eagles or Chicago, or you can find
YouTube's underrated for that because they do people do upload like their concert footage from years and years ago, and those are a lot of fun.
It's great to watch.
I saw an Aretha Franklin concert when she was like in Cincinnati, like a footage of that. I didn't go to the actual concert, but it was her in Cincinnati, Ohio, and she was wailing and singing, and it was just wild. It's like a piece of history.
Absolutely. Like, I think I've watched all of Live Aid on YouTube just because, like, so much stuff going on. Led Zeppelin reunion, Queen playing.
Yeah,
all good stuff.
Well, now I gotta see that again because I've seen parts of Live Aid. I haven't seen the whole thing. One of these days I have to give that a shot. But I want to know from you guys, because you guys are an excellent group of musicians, but there's a lot of great bands and artists in Ohio. So what other bands in Ohio do you really like to listen to?
We've actually shared the stage a few times with Todd the Fox. They're a three-piece. They do kind of rockabilly stuff, and so like we do a bit of that too. Mm-hmm. We're pretty good fans of that.
Okay.
We've been trying to get together a show with a group called the American Kings.
Which, yeah.
They do 50s and 60s stuff in sort of a 60s variety show setting. Like they try to make it kind of like Ed Sullivan sort of style show. But in terms of like big bands from Ohio, we just really listen to a lot of stuff that not as much just Ohio, but really just the Midwest sound in general. Like I know Eagles are, technically California, but like sort of that style of like country where it's country, but it's blended with rock and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that really encapsulates kind of what it is to be in Ohio. Cause like we're a crossroads of, where Midwest meets the East Coast and a bunch of other spots. And so
really
like
going for it here, Adam.
Hey man, I'm, really trying to make myself sound a bit more like I know what I'm talking about. But Joe Walsh, hey, the James Gang was from Ohio, and that's like, I'm a big fan of them. Joe Walsh is one of my guitar gods.
Absolutely. Darren, I got a few more questions left, but do you have any questions or comments for this band, The Blue Leaves?
So, the one question that I came up with, and that you guys brought up, that you guys have two original, like, CDs, if you will. Is there plans in the third? Because I saw that the first one kind of came out in 2016, second one kind of came out in 2017, pretty late for what, another third come out in 18. So is there one possibly coming up or in the works or even not even really scratched the surface yet of a third one?
Well, we've
definitely one in the works.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We sort of plan on an EP right now where we were like four or five songs, whether or not we just but strictly,
it'll probably turn into an album because we've waited this long.
Cause like, I mean,
we all have so much material just
kind
of built up just over this 2 years.
Yeah,
we plan to possibly lay at least some tracks over Christmas break.
Yeah.
That starts.
That's a good time to do it when we don't have classes going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good time. Now, with that, you guys do have some live concerts coming up, so go ahead and plug that. Where can people see you perform?
The most soon one, that wasn't a sentence. The most, somebody help me.
You're doing great. Well,
on December 22nd, we were playing at the local Ambets in Huber Heights, playing their Christmas show from 8 to 12 that night. But just kind of other bars here and there until the summer starts. But then I know we're playing at someday in Stubbs Park down in Centerville. We're playing a Beatles Fest over in Chicago.
Okay.
In the middle part of August, but just some random festivals and summer concert series scattered throughout Ohio, Indiana, Michigan. But if you get on our Facebook page, the Blue Leafs, we have all of our events listed on there, and as we get them, we update it with so that anybody can see it.
All right. And lastly, where can people buy your music, like your albums that you've made? Where can people get them at?
Well, you can go to iTunes. We are on iTunes.
iTunes, good.
You can also stream us on Spotify or several other streaming sites, so you can get an idea of what we're like.
I believe we're on YouTube as well.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And for people that are listening at home, it's the Blue Leafs. And, of course, it's spelled like the leaves. It's L-E-A-F, apostrophe S. So it's possessive. I know so there was. I was looking up some bands. There's like a lot of bands with a similar name. Like there's the Red Leaves, and some don't have the apostrophe, and some do. So those of you at home, they're from Tips. Well, their official location is Tip City, Ohio. So if you guys look these up, or if you listen to this show, you'll know where to find these guys.
Okay. So the first track we have is it Beautiful Crazy?
I think the first one is Rainy Nights, which is one that I wrote for my final high school concert. I arranged it for a concert band.
Okay.
And then I condensed it down into a rock song. So that'll be what we hear first. And then the second one, Coleman.
The second one I wrote, it's called A Beautiful Crazy Little Thing. And I kind of wrote it. I was projecting the feelings that I saw some of my friends being broken up with, and I kind of was trying to take that and just put it into a song. So that's kind of a simple write right there.
But both of these songs are off our latest album, Shades of the Blue Leafs, and those two wrote both of them. But we all collaborate together and help each other make each other's songs better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Chase, you got a writing credit on Rainy
partial
Nights.
Partial credit on a few, yeah.
Definitely. some of the best musical parts, like Chase will give me, you know.
We are back with Ohio is on Fire. I am Daniel Deez along with my co-host Darren Glines. I am still joined by the Blue Leaves. They're going to help me with the last part of the show. I got two more segments coming up, and of course we'll be done in like 20 minutes, so they're going to help me, and that's awesome that they're still here. Of course, we heard some of their tracks previously from their album, the Shades of the Blue Leaves. Really good album. So anywho, it's now time for everyone's favorite segment. It's now time for OMVP, and that stands for Ohio's Most Valuable Pedestrian. Oh, ooh, yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. Exciting stuff.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Music and everything. Yeah, so how this works, Blue Leaves and Darren Glines, OMVP goes to a person or a group of people from the state of Ohio that did something very interesting that relating to Ohio, and of course there's always a backstory because we don't know they did this unless the media reports on it. And this comes from independent.co.uk. So this is from United Kingdom, but this did happen in Ohio. So let's get to it. Baby, It's Cold Outside, pulled by US radio station after listeners complain lyrics are at odds with the Me Too movement. And of course, here's the another thing about it. In a world where Hashtag Me Too has finally given women the voice they deserve. The song has no place, presenter says. So let's get to the story. This was written by Tom Embry Dennis from The Independent. A U.S. radio station has removed Christmas classic Baby It's Cold Outside from its playlist after listeners complained it was at odds with the Me Too movement. Glenn Anderson, a host at Star 102 Cleveland in Ohio, confirmed the station had pulled the song over what he said were the manipulative and wrong lyrics. And here's a quote from him. The world we live in is extra sensitive now, and people get easily offended. But in a world where hashtag MeToo has finally given women the voice they deserve, this song has no place, Ms. Anderson wrote in a blog. Now, this song was written in 1944 by composer Frank Loesser. The song takes the form of a back-and-forth conversation in which a man tries to convince a woman not to journey home in bad weather and to spend a night with him instead. The song includes lines such as, "I really can't stay, baby, don't hold out, I ought to say no, 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 mind if I check in closer," and infamously, "say what's in this drink." So, that is an interesting lyric. There's only like a paragraph left, so this article is almost over. Some have accused the latter lyric of being an allusion to date rape, whereas others argued a line in the 1930s effectively meant, "I'm telling the truth." So 1930s lingo is at odds with 2018 lingo, I guess. And of course, here's another quote. The character in the song is saying no, and they're saying, well, does no really mean yes? She told local news channel WJW, "And I think in 2018, what we know is consent is yes. And if you get a no, it means no, and you should stop right there." Star 102 subsequently launched a poll on its Facebook page to gauge what listeners thought of the decision. The overwhelming majority thought the radio station should reverse the ban. So I want to ask everyone in here, what do you think of this decision to pull Baby It's Cold Outside from a radio station or any radio station in general?
You can go ahead.
The coast goes first.
Oh, man. Wow, that's a tough call to make. I mean, I guess you said the song was written in the 40s, right?
It was 1944 was written.
So you're right. I mean, so much has changed since then.
I think it could just be time to, update it, see if, I don't know, who's popular now? Ariana Grande can release a new version.
Lyrics that are questionable.
Yeah, I mean.
I do think somebody came out with an updated version of it last year, or it was the first year when somebody brought this up about the song, but I'm not too sure about that.
Yeah, but you could just flip them, right? Flip the roles. Have the girl singing on the guy's side. Be a bit hard to get that low, but I'm sure they can give it a shot.
Probably find some woman that can sing low like that. Yeah. Maybe. in general, what do you guys think? Do you think the Star 102 was in the right in pulling the song? Do you guys agree with the decision or disagree?
I'd have to listen to the song again.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose, I guess it comes down to, you definitely can't please everyone.
Yeah, and, I know.
And I guess if having it on the radio causes more unrest than good, then, I suppose it was good for the radio station to pull the song just to keep the peace.
And, yeah.
I mean, if anyone needs to listen to the song or wants to for any reason, it's easily accessible.
Yeah.
Other ways, I mean, you don't have to just turn on the radio hoping you'll hear that song if you really want it. So
yeah.
I suppose for the radio station, it was a good move to keep the peace. What about you?
Yeah, if someone was upset about it, yeah, maybe.
So seems like in a broader cultural take, maybe a slight overreaction, but a specific local context, because it looks like it's just that one station.
It was just Cleveland. It was just them.
So for them, it may be like, okay, this is a big enough issue that let's just take it off. Let's not offend the people that are supporting us. So it's probably good for them to keep their listeners happy.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they did say that the listeners were at odds. While some did support it, there were a lot that said no, they thought they overreacted. It's just a song. So it was kind of split among their actual audience, which is fine. I mean, now my thoughts personally, there's a lot worse songs out there than Baby It's Cold Outside. I think it's obvious. And I do think I think the lingo does come in play. Like 1940s, I don't think they meant any harm when they said what's in this drink. Of course, since then, we've had a lot of controversy, like in the 60 years since that song, with rape, date rape, and technology's improved, which has been used for bad things to hurt women. So, the lingo was at odds. I'm not upset that they pulled it. I mean, but it wouldn't bother me if the song was reinstated. Now, the star of the story is Glenn Anderson. He was the one that moved to pull this song. But he did say himself that we do live in a sensitive world, so he was being considered. He was considering those that are upset. They don't understand the lingo to it. But those that have been, there are people that have been victim of sexual rape. That's a big mental thing when you've been a victim of sexual harassment. And there are a lot of things that can trigger that hurt again. And someone like say what's in this drink, I could see how that could upset someone that's been affected by rape. So I do think Lee Anderson was just being cautious. And he sounds like he's a good person. Of course, he's also a fellow radio DJ, just like I am. So it's not often I get a shout out to a guy in the industry. So you know what? I think for this episode, number 182 of Ohio is on fire. OMVP goes to the one only Glenn Anderson, the host of Star 102 in Cleveland, Ohio. He was a good guy. He sounds like a good guy and a good DJ, and he's looking out for the culture of this country. So, Glenn Anderson, you are for this episode. OMVP, and that stands for Ohio's Most Valuable Pedestrian. We all applaud.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's the winner.
Attaway, Glenn. Did it.
Congratulations, Glenn Anderson. You don't win any money. Your name is on a big list of other people that have won this award. So congratulations. If you're listening, Glenn Anderson, go out and eat a pizza. Go celebrate. That's how you can win. All right. With that was MVP. It's now time for the final segment of the night. It's the final message, as I got about 15 minutes left on the show, 10, 15 minutes. Tonight, I want to talk about small businesses. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked about the retail apocalypse. These big businesses have gone under over the last few years. I want to talk about the small guy. I think it's important everyone has to make a living and you got to go buy stuff. I think it's important that if you do buy something that you care about, buy something that you need. And also, I think it's really cool that you can buy something and the person getting that money would really appreciate it because they're otherwise not going to get that much money. That's where small businesses come in. Of course, along with Black Friday, small businesses do have their own little holiday called Small Business Saturday. I'm thinking about, so what qualifies as a small business? And I thought hard about it. And to me, it's a do-it-yourself type of business. Something as small as, say, a musical rock band or, say, a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Something like a t-shirt shop, even a lemonade stand, like a six-year-old girl and her parents want to build a table and sell lemonade. That could be a small business, especially if it's really good lemonade. So why not go for it? And the thing with small businesses is that there's, for every few good ones that are really good that take off, an example would be Netflix, because they did start out as a small business. Of course, nowadays they are one of the biggest internet companies in the world. They've changed the game in movie watching. They did start out small, and another group that started out small that went big. SiriusXM is another example I can think of. They're now a major corporate group when they were once small. A lot of t-shirts. There are a lot of t-shirt company designs out there. They start out small, but then they get a few good designs. They're looking for that big t-shirt that people will want to buy during the holiday season. And also, I want to elaborate on music acts, because there's a group like the Blue Leaves. I would consider you guys a small business. You guys go and tour, you make your own records, guys like you, and there's lots of independent bands that are out there. They're doing their own thing, and they do it because they're chasing the dream. They're chasing the dream of making people happy, to support themselves, doing what they love. And with any luck, you guys, like I said, I don't know what it takes to make it big, but maybe you guys will make it huge one day. You'll sell a million copies of your next album, and then you guys will be on some reality TV show saying, hey, look at me, I'm better than everyone else. That's going to be you guys in 5 years. I feel it.
That'd be sweet. That'd be sweet if you just called it right there. Seriously, it would be.
Yes. So, but that's the American dream right there. And I think that's what a small business is all about. You start small, not knowing you're ever going to make it. And then a lot of people do not, unfortunately, because there are horror stories. There are a lot of ideas that have came and gone. I've seen them myself. I've seen, and of course, here at Wright State University, I can, I usually to start a business, it does start with a good education. And people, that's why I recommend anyone that wants to start a business to at least run a nonprofit group first, something that's very small, like say maybe a group on Facebook, or if you go to college here, like some of you guys do, run a small nonprofit organization. There's a lot of sororities and fraternities you can get involved with if you wish to do that, but that's not your cup of tea. There's sports. There's a lot of education groups. If you do have the goal of running your own empire, definitely start small and then move your way up. And that's life advice for me, because I have seen failures myself. I've had my own failures, and I've seen a lot of bands break up because they went too big too soon. And hopefully that doesn't happen to the Blue Leaves.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are your guys, before I wrap up the final message, what are your guys' thoughts on small businesses here in America, and what's your approach?
I have one little joke.
Go ahead.
So what you're saying is, by small, small would not qualify as a $1 million loan from your father, right?
I would say, yeah, it's got to be less than a million. Okay. I know, I would consider companies that had $100,000 in the bank, that would be small, because, yeah, if you're in the $1 million range immediately, I would say maybe a mid-major company, but definitely not small.
I would say you definitely have to be efficient if you're starting a small business. Like,
yes.
You're right. I would consider our band a small business, for instance. And we started a lot bigger at our very, very origins. But then, you know, it came down to just the four of us. And I mean, we all are very proficient in our instruments, and we all sing. And rather than having a manager, Adam actually handles most of our booking and such. So
I try to act as sort of, and Coleman helps me with the social media end of thing. Well, on Instagram, and then both the other two do Facebook. But I'm really kind of in terms of the booking, I'm like really in charge of that.
And
so,
and Bill over here is good at mixing the CDs and such.
Yeah.
So we all try to do our multiple jobs and really well. And I think. Since we're all motivated, that really helps in a small business.
And I'm going to pull some directing stuff out that I'm learning on, and Wright State's fine film program. Shout out to all you guys. Anyway.
Awesome.
But in order to really, building off the efficiency thing, finding what each person really excels at and bringing that to the forefront in your business is really what's going to probably make you be able to go from just kind of a rinky-dink small business where, like, you know, Kevin shows up 5 days a week and doesn't really like it, you know, there, and he just works his job, you know, make him go from like just sort of doing whatever to really find what is Kevin good at, you know? I don't know why I chose Kevin. That was the name that was on my heart at the time.
And that's so,
Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon. I don't know. You got a good name, Kevin.
Yes. And that is a very good message from you guys. And of course I can relate, because I would consider this show, Ohio is on Fire, a small business. Of course, here at this radio station, at the moment, we cannot get paid for any of our original recordings because we're using college equipment. And of course, there is a rule right now that we can't get paid, although that's actually being challenged at the moment. It could be a major breakthrough if college organizations such as this station, WDSU 106.9 FM, of course, sports, I believe the first group that will get paid will be the sports like football, basketball, but they're trying to find a way to get these student participants paid. Sports will be the first one, but then there has been talk of other groups such as sororities, fraternities, depending on what they do, and of course music groups, any other group that is strongly involved in the community. And WDSU qualifies college radio across the country. We do a lot with the media, and of course we also have the Guardian here at the station. They do newspapers. Newspapers and radio stations in colleges are the lifeblood of any college, and I truly believe that. And I think it would be really cool to one day Whether it's myself or any new DJ that's here, anyone that's currently here, they can get paid. We are challenging this at the moment because we do think in the near future, maybe ballpark, maybe a year from now, maybe 5 years from now, we think it's a real possibility. We just got to play our cards right. And I hope to one day make this an actual viable small business because I want to do Ohio's on Fire for as long as I can, some way, somehow. So even though it's not music like you guys, I too am trying to build my own empire in its own way. And anyone at home, this is my final thoughts before we leave tonight. Anyone at home, if you have a vision, if you have an idea, don't let go of it. And I would suggest being patient because a lot of people, they have an idea. They want to get it done immediately. Like, I want $1 million from this idea and I want it right now. I ask that you be patient because it's not that easy. I ask that you embrace the journey of what's to come. If you decide to bark on your idea, whether you start your own small business, you start your own band or your own podcast or your own clothing line, be patient. Be smart, get all the information that you need before you finally do it, and then make the magic happen. And that's coming from someone that's done this for 10 years. Try not to do anything stupid, and you'll be okay. Just be smart and also love what you do. If you don't love what you do, then I guarantee failure. You will fail. So
if I can add...
And one more thing from there. Yes. Go ahead.
So speaking about the getting paid stuff, so you know how, like, the Blue Leaves band, you guys have a brand, like,
yeah.
Whether you guys are a little smaller at the moment, I don't know why I repeated that, but like, you guys have a brand, whether that's right now Tri-State, you guys play Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana, you guys have a brand. Like, you guys can go get paid whether you guys are college students or not. You mentioned, Dan, here, the athletes are so restricted as far as, like, anything that's outside of, like, their scholarship. It seems, because right now in my master's program, I'm doing, like, a couple sports classes, so it's a little bit of a hot topic button with college athletes getting paid, because it's, like, certain athletes, like, you can't get anything outside of, like, your scholarship.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky enough to get one of those high DN1 scholarships, you're lucky if you get anything outside of, like, a stipend. But, like, you bring up the college radio station and the Guardian.
Yeah.
Like, you're also building a brand. Like, you're building a basis of, like, this is what I can do.
Yeah.
And whatnot. So, like, I feel like if we can get it paid, even if it's a stipend of, like, $100 a month or whatever. I mean, like, you take time out of your life to come here for 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
To do a show.
Yes.
Or whatever. So, I mean, whether that's, like, oh, that's $10 a month. I mean, or $10 a show for whatever, for an hour or something or whatever. So theoretically, that's $20 for your time to show up here.
Yeah.
I'm just spitballing of whatever. Of, like, I mean, that's.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Dan, I agree with that. Yes. I do make a real commitment to do this show every week. And all the other DJs do as well. And you did years ago. You make the commitment to go out and do what you do. So with that, I want to thank Darren Glines. And I want to thank the band, the Blue Leaves, and the roll call of the Blue Leaves once again. Of course, we got Coleman Clark, we got Adam Clark.
That's me.
Then we got Chase Hick and Bill Hick. Ooh. They were here. Thank you for joining me for the last part of the show. Next Monday night will be my holiday special. I will have the 1984 draft on. I also have Art Jepsen. And then also Santa Claus. He's going to make his debut on Ohio's on Fire. I will have him via satellite on next week's show. And also next week will be What Does Daniel Diesel Want for Christmas? It's my tradition when I do these holiday shows. I haven't decided what the prize is going to be yet. So with that, it's time to say goodnight. So until the next episode, the Blue Leaves, Darren Glines, Monster Jam, Saturday, Saturday, Saturday. That's the way it is.